Morning. Today is a special day when we can talk about the origin of the church. Actually, during the 6 weeks, we've been studying about the goals of the church. But today is a celebration, and we'll discuss about the origin, identity, and also continue the goals of the church. I took the four questions from the book of Jonah, which the sailors asked Jonah, what do you do? What do you come from? What's your country and from what people are you? These are the questions which is so important for us to know, because you know that every individual has to have a healthy and relevant self-esteem. The self-esteem is the belief about ourselves, and it's a foundation of our emotions, of our behavior. And if, for example, somebody has a poor self-esteem, he will suffer. He will be limited in fulfilling everyday activities. And that's why, as a church, we should have a health understanding who are we. And, of course, everything that we would like to find about ourselves or as an individual or as a church, we can find in the God's Word. And God's Word tells us that we are saints. We are a holy nation. And I got confused when first time I studied the book of Daniel, because I found there that the saints, they will be in the time of the horn of the Antichrist. And from other passages, I understood that church will be spared from the time of tribulation, from the time of wrath. And the same you'll find in the book of Revelation. And why was that confusing for me? Because two groups of people in the Bible bear the same name. And that's Israel and the Church of God. And when I was reading about Israel, I was supposing that that's from it's about the church. And in this morning, I would like to see what's the difference between the church and Israel. And we know first that God in the Old Testament said about Israel that they are a kingdom of priests, and they are called a holy nation. But in the New Testament, Peter used the same verse to say that we are a holy nation, we are a royal priesthood. So here we see that the same nation, the same future, but it's totally different destiny on this earth. God is not done yet with church, with Israel, even though now is the time of church. We know from the book of Daniel chapter 9 that God has a special time of 7 years with Israel. And let's see the difference between the church and Israel. Israel is called God's people, his saints. The church is also God's people and his saints. They are Abraham's descendants by flesh. We are Abraham's descendants by spirit. They are all of the olive tree, the natural olive tree from the book of Matthew, and we are the cultivated olive tree. They are circumcised by humans, their bodies. We are also circumcised by God, our heart. They had a temple in Jerusalem. We have a temple in heaven. But the difference is that they are friends, Jesus' friends, but we are his bride. If you remember John 3:29, when John the Baptist, one of the last prophets, he said that I'm not the bride. The groom has his bride, but I'm only the friend of the groom. And that's confusing also when we study Matthew 25, for example, when we found there about the 10 virgins, that they have to have oil, and you heard maybe interpretation that that's the church. I thought the same till I saw Oriental wedding ceremony, and you have there 5 virgins from one side and 5 virgins from other side of candles, but the groom and the bride does not have anything with these virgins. They are just friends. So in the Matthew 25, it's very clear that it speaks about Israel. So they are friends of the groom. We are his bride. But we got all the grace. Actually, the church was based on their disobedience. Let's put it in this way. If Israel would obey God and would keep his commandments, the only way now to go to heaven would be only to become a Jew or to become a Jew proselyte. But because of their disobedience, God originated the church, and that's what Paul said. Where we came from? We came from the darkness to the light. We were dead, and now we are alive. We've been like zombies, and now we are alive. We were objects of wrath, and now we are objects of love. We were uncircumcised Gentiles, and now we are children of God. We were separated from Christ, and now we have a direct access to the God of Father. And without citizenship, now we are fellow citizens of God's people, and we were foreigners without any hope. We were foreigners to the God's covenant. Just check in the Old Testament, every promise which was given to Israel. The heavens never been promised to us. They've been promised to Israel. But through Jesus, we became now Israel, the spiritual Israel, and we got all the promises. Now, it's interesting to see that God left a lot of illustrations to give us a full understanding of our identity. And first illustration which we have is that we are a family. No kids are born out of family. In order for a kid to be raised up, he needs a family. The family actually is the best environment where we can grow in our maturity. And that's why God left on this world a family. And we can understand that the spirit of love, of unity, the spirit of sweet fellowship should reign in this family. The family is to be protected. And God is doing his side to protect this family, and we should do our part to protect from conflict and to build that fellowship of trust where we can come here and to pour out our soul. That's the family. The family is a refuge. It's a refuge from this hostile world. And we are coming here for the relief. We are coming here to relax in Christ. The second illustration is the temple. And Peter said that we are like living stones in the wall of this temple. And in order to be a part of the temple, definitely we have to be in the wall. And look intently to that wall. Every brick is supported by two and supports other two. And this gives us explanation as a church. We can't come just to be to attend the church without being involved in the life of the church, without supporting others, and without being supported by others. And if you look more intently, you will see actually that the brick is supported by a huge number of bricks and supports other huge number of bricks, and that the church, and no one is part of the temple if it's separated by that wall, from that wall. Wow. Church is a bride. And as a bride, we have to make ourselves ready for a wedding. And everything is about wedding. And you read in the book of Revelation about that amazing wedding. And the bride is dreaming. All her thoughts are about the groom. She's preoccupied, focused only to the groom. And her concern is to keep herself clean, pure, and that's the meaning of the white dress, our righteousness. Also, the church is a flock. And you can see two types of the flock. And we would like to be definitely this one from left side. Because flock is the one who which follows, hears, listens the shepherd's voice and follows, and doesn't need to be pushed from the back. Also, church as body. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it's of Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And Ephesians 1:22-23, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. You find several times in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, Revelation, that God is going to put everything under His feet. Actually, He put already everything, all the authorities, everything under His feet. And who are His feet? We are, because we are His body. And we have all that authority. And the only thing that we need this morning is to understand who are we. Again, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I'm standing here, and what I see here? I see princes, prince and princesses, Your Majesty, Your Eminence. Because that's what the Bible says about us. And we have to remember always this. Because sometimes we are forgetting about when we are under trials and we are in a foreign country. We are aliens. That's not our kingdom. And that's why people treat us badly. But during the Second World War, I heard that the parents were telling to their kids when they were separated. They were saying, kid, do not forget who are you. Do not forget, do not lose your identity. Because it's very easy to lose your identity. I heard a story how many slaves were brought to U.S. and many of them died on the way from starving, from diseases, but the interesting thing that they became more close to animals than to humans, because they were treated so bad, and when the food was catching out to them, they were throwing themselves to catch something, to take at least something. And only one slave was staying and looking to their colleagues. And she was eating only what was left after them. And even in the marketplace, she was staying with the amazing dignity. And she was looking more like a noble man, not like a slave. Why she was so different? Because she was a son of the tribe's king. He has a royal provenance. And we have a royal provenance. And it's so easy nowadays to forget about. And that's why James said, when you are in low circumstances, just try to remember of your high position. Try to remember that you are here of the kingdom of God. You are son of the King of Kings. Do not lose your identity. And I love to give this this illustration over and over. If somebody will come here, let's say the richest person in this world, and will say, listen, you complain that you don't have enough money to pay your bills. I'm giving all my millions, but let's have an exchange. Give me your inheritance. Nobody will go for that exchange. So who are the most richest in this world? We are. And sometimes we forget. How are the church appeared? You know that John the Baptist, when he presented Jesus, he said, he's the one who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But he finished his mission on this earth, but he didn't baptize any with the Holy Spirit. Yet he explained that remained his focus, his final point of his mission. And he said, just stay here. Just wait for the gift. What gift he was talking about? What gift? Is the gift, through that gift we receive everything, all the gifts. And that gift is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you follow, you'll see below that to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to be his witness. He said that that's not new. God the Father promised that. And he was talking to them. He was explaining to them. And you can find that in the Gospel. For example, Gospel of John from 14 to 16 contains the explanation what is this gift all about the Spirit. And also, if we would like to see when our Father promised that gift, you can see in all the promises regarding the covenant speaks about that gift. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. That's the gift. Through this gift we became part of the church. We became part of the church because no one become a part of the body except through being baptized through the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Means to place object into a medium. It's like you place a bladder into a cup of ink, and bladder comes in the ink, but ink also goes into the bladder. That's the meaning of the baptism. From two, we become one. We've been placed in the medium of Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit came within us, and we became in such way a part of the body. And if you would like to know the birthday of the church, we have to go to the dance of Pentecost. So it's today's celebration. That day, the people came. People from different countries came to bow down to worship to God. where usually people were coming to worship to God. They knew that there is only one place, that Jerusalem, that the temple. But that day was different. The people came to the temple, worshiping God, and immediately they heard the sound. No sound. The Holy Spirit came a little bit later. Okay. So they heard the sound, and they went after that sound. And where they came to a place, to a house, and they got shot there. Because they, everyone was listening to them, talking in their language. And what they were talking about the mighty works of God. That day, everything changed. Changed everything because, first, the place of worship and the way of worship. Do you remember that Jesus said that the day is coming, the time is coming when the true worshipers will not worship anymore on this in this place, in this city, or on that mountain. But the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in the truth. And actually, that was the first team of true worshipers in the world. What happened, that group, that small group, that group from Acts 1, it's so different now from the group, the same people from Acts 2. In Acts 1, that group, that religious group, we can call them more like a religious club. They were staying together, but they were waiting. No action. They were waiting. In the chapter 2, everything changed. First, the way of worship changed. And they got a goal to worship to God. The second, they started, everyone started to tell about the mighty things of God. The third, they started to make disciples, discipleship. The fourth, they were willing to live together. And they were having a sweet, sweet fellowship. They started to spread the gospel in the areas where the people didn't know. So Samaria, and after that they went till the end of the world, mission. And all the people liked them. You know why? Because they were getting healed. They were coming to them to get something. So they were serving the community. When this happened, Peter gave an explanation. And he said, what you see now actually is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. He said that in the last day, God will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So what Peter is explaining, that in these days, when the Spirit comes upon you, in you, you will start to prophesy, means to speak from God, with God's authority, God's word. And it will not, doesn't depend of your age, or are you a woman or a man. Later the people will try to divide. The woman should not talk to the men. But in that time, Peter said, listen, doesn't matter. When the Spirit comes upon you, you start to speak God's word. But the most interesting thing here is verse 19. Verse 19 speaks about the day of the Lord and some miracles which will happen. But the conclusion is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What Peter is explaining, that now the day of Pentecost, the day of the church, the period of the church starts. When this period will finish, somewhere before the day of the Lord. How we are going to know that that period is finished? How the world is going to know that this amazing period is finished? The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. But again, why I call this period of grace, amazing period, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see that God planned the church. He promised the church in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled and made possible for the church to appear, and the Spirit came from Jesus and accomplished his goal. And now we live in this amazing period. Again, why is it amazing? Peter says, I thought that I'm changing the slides. But I have some really, really good helpers who just see my finger and put this. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved, said also Paul. And he said that how they will be saved if they will not hear or listen. But how they are going to listen if nobody will preach them? And that's the question to ask. How these people around us are going to be saved if they will not listen? How they are going to listen if we will not go to them and to tell them about Jesus' love? How your friends will come to know Christ if you're not going to tell them? That's a context of message from Romans. Paul wants us, and God wants us, to spread this good news. Before we came to Christ, we, all of us, were like sheep. And we, everyone, has gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. What happened after that? We became a flock. After that, we became a flock. Now we got a direction. Now we have a goal. And that's the goal which Jesus left for us. Before I was saved, everything was about me. After I got saved, everything is about us. Before I was saved, everything was about salvation. Now I got saved, and if that was the only goal, I would be in heaven first. Second, God will not have any demands from me, because salvation is totally his plan, his it's his work. But now, because I was left here on this earth, and God gave me such a high position, he has some expectations from me. And we as a church are called again. We are called to have this goal, to come to worship him. But also, we are called to be involved in the process of discipleship, and to have here teachers and disciples, teachers and disciples. We are called to spread God's word for evangelism. We are called to build such a trust and a warm atmosphere here, to have the best desire to come to this place and to have fellowship. We are called to go to those places which don't have the church and they don't know about Christ for mission. And we are called to serve community, the community which is around us. And the question is, how is Cornerstone accomplishing the goal of the church? And what's my role and my part accomplishing one of the parts, one of the goals of the church? We have everything needed to accomplish those goals. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, verse 7 says, you got everything. You got all the needed gifts. Now it's time just to apply them, to let them work. And again, every gift is to serve others. I didn't get my hand to scratch myself. I got a hand to serve this hand, and this hand is to serve another. That's why the prayer for today is, once I do understand the goals of the church, what's God's expectation from me? How can I be involved in this church to serve, to get the fulfillment from God's Spirit, and to make this church be fulfilled in Christ? Let God bless us and lead us and work with our hearts to make us that amazing church from chapter 2, and not to take anything from a church who is waiting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are doing mighty things in our lives, and you want to grow us into maturity and to teach us how to serve each other. We know that as a church we have goals. We have these six definite goals, and fulfilling them, we are getting fulfilled. But also, the people around us will benefit from us. First, our church, and second, our community. We would like, as a church, to be this amazing church from chapter 2, who was spreading your word everywhere, who was having that sweet fellowship, warm and lovely fellowship, who was bringing your word to the regions and countries which didn't have. And we see that Paul, as a person, did more than in nowadays hundreds of missions. We would like to be used by you, and we know that as you promise, that those who know you will stand firm and will perform mighty works. Just use us in your way, according to your vision, according to your wisdom. And we are here to surrender you in this morning. Amen.